Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Winds of Destruction by Waldo Rodriguez. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1. "We're losing him," a voice called out in the distance. Electricity surged through Gabriel's chest. His eyes shot open. Lights flitted past his vision, hot, white, and fluorescent. They stung his straining eyes. Gabriel tried to lift his head but could barely manage to turn it. Figures gathered around him that he struggled to make out. "Medics?" The familiar red cross on a shoulder patch came into view just before he drifted off once more. When his eyes opened again, they were moving at a faster pace. A low, quiet thrum emanated from beneath him. He was on a gurney, a repulsor gurney.
"What the hell happened to this kid?"
a distorted voice said. One of the medics.
"Project Omega,"
answered another familiar voice. His eyes drifted to the source. It was Townsend, his instructor. She ran along the medics in her suit of light power armor, her fiery mane flowing behind her. She'd come to save him after... "After what?"
"I thought that project was scrapped,"
the medic balked.
"The last time those things were field-tested, they nearly broke out of the proving grounds."
Memories of warped, twisted creatures came rushing through the fog of his mind all at once. Slug-like, parasitic larvae, the size of a dog, jumping at anything with a pulse. Monsters who turned their victims into living juice boxes, before sucking them dry on the best cases, or weaponized their victims' bodies at the worst. He saw the process partially when a wolf fell prey to these. Devron was the name the Herald, no, Dead Man, gave them. The poor animal could barely walk as fur sloughed off his body. Gabriel had lost track of it before it came back again, bigger, meaner, and covered in chitinous armor. He barely survived that encounter. The worst part was that it hadn't even been the deadliest creature they encountered in the Proving Grounds. Not by a long shot. The gravel-filled voice of Jensen reached his ears.
"Eggheads claim they don't have a clue as to what the hell happened down there. The whole place was supposed to be purged after that botched test."
But they knew. The Silver Stripes did. Umbral Cross, Gabriel wanted to say, even as the exhaustion of his broken body dragged him away once more. He remembered how the guards burned piles of bodies when Gabriel and his company first arrived at the Proving Grounds. Part of his mind was certain Townsend and Jensen didn't know those monsters were down there. But after seeing what the Devron did, after everything Deadman told him of Umbral Cross, there was no way they didn't know what they were throwing recruits like him into. When he woke again, Gabriel had a better look of his surroundings. A diamond-shaped hall of a grand scale, covered in obsidian, white, and gold. They were in the pyramid, the lab. Gabriel's ears perked at the scrambling footsteps around him. They were far too numerous to belong to the medics and instructors. They were evacuating everyone. Right. The images of the blazing forest, crawling with rushing swarms of Devron chasing fleeing recruits to the dropships, had burned into his mind. So many recruits lost their lives to the monsters. Many more died at the hands of Umbral Cross moments before the Devron could sink their fangs into the fleeing recruits. It was an act of mercy. The hair on the back of Gabriel's neck stood as a feeling of dread washed over him. His subconscious tugged at his mind, demanding he look to the left and stay away from the coming danger. Whatever it was, he rolled his eyes over to meet the danger head-on. There was a door, a massive one which could have probably taken a direct nuclear strike with how thick it looked from the outside. Surrounding it were turrets mounted on the walls, ceiling, floors, further supported by Umbral Cross guards in heavy power armor and a detachment of walkers.
"Containment breach!" barked one of the guards. "Prepare for anomalous contact!"
"Pick up the pace. We have to get the hell out of here," Jensen said.
Gabriel couldn't see the man, but he heard him checking his rifle, a vindicator from the sound of it. The silver-striped guards rushed to take whatever cover they could grab. There was a loud bang against the massive doors. Metal groaned. Dust rained down. Another bang followed, then another in rapid succession. Squealing and whining, the doors shuddered with each impact, yet it still held. An eerie silence fell over the hall. All eyes turned to the door, waiting with bated breath. Crackling like ice emanated from the doors as frost formed on its surface. A thick, chilled fog fell from it and spread across the hall. Jensen wasn't so patient as to stick around and find out what was going on. He squeezed a medic's shoulder.
"Did I stutter, Corporal?"
Before the medic could respond, explosions rocked the door. Dents, cracks, and patches of glowing metal spider-webbed before waves of crimson energy ripped through the weakened gate. Superheated and frozen slabs of the bunker gate went flying with another round of explosions, taking out turrets, guards, and walkers alike. The medics ran, dragging Gabriel's gurney along with them as deadly shrapnel and chunks of metal bombarded the hall. Guards scrambled away from the path of deadly debris. One man was smeared across the floor, crushed beneath a thick slab. A pile of broken metal buried another guard alive. The other guards raised their weapons and fired as six figures stepped out of the smoke. Gabriel tried to focus on the new arrivals through all the chaos. At the lead of the pack was Squall, golden katana in hand, crackling with crimson energy. On either side of him stood four others in orange jumpsuits, whom Gabriel didn't recognize. His blurring vision wasn't helping matters either. Two men, one larger and broader than the other lankier man. The other two were women, who looked so similar Gabriel wasn't sure he wasn't seeing double. Then there was Dead Man behind all of them. His gaze pierced through the chaos to fixate solely on Gabriel. A broad, golden grin formed over his mask. The world went black and white around Gabriel. Everything came to a standstill. Without any warning, Dead Man vanished in a flash of black-white light and smoke, then appeared on the gurney next to Gabriel. As ever, Dead Man spoke with a delighted drawl, full of mischief. Like everything was a game to him. Yet the mask distorted his voice, deepened it, to give his words a dark, sinister edge. "Still alive, Gabriel?" His grin seemed to widen at the question. "Oh, but who am I kidding? I had a feeling you had survived that little skirmish with the Devaron. Devilish little creatures are about as tenacious as you, but are not quite the brightest bunch. Though I never expected them to grab hold of a T-Rex, that was a fun little twist to our little game down below." Gabriel tried to speak. His mouth barely moved, only allowing a rasp to slip past his lips. Dead Man circled Gabriel as he spoke, before leaning his rear against the gurney's edge. "Honestly, it had me worried you wouldn't pull through." He lightly slapped Gabriel's cheek. "The end game wouldn't be nearly as fun without you, not to mention how much longer everything would take." "You tried to kill me." Gabriel wanted to spit at him. The slithering tendrils in the back of his mind made sure Dead Man got the message. "I know, Gabriel, but what can I say? You left me broken-hearted when you turned me down. I might have overreacted a little, just a smidge." Dead Man pinched his fingers together and laughed. "Really? I technically don't need you alive for my plans to go through, but I would have appreciated saving one more lost little lamb before everything goes to hell." Dead Man pushed away from the gurney and took an exaggerated breath. "But I've had time to calm down since then." He clasped his hands together and went back to circling Gabriel. "Oh, the games I have planned for us, my boy. There'll be chaos, bullets, lasers, explosions. I know how much you love those. Not to mention an extra special treat that is to die for." Gabriel furrowed his brow, wondering just why Dead Man was doing all this, when he could kill him right here and now and save himself the trouble.
Then he remembered what Deadman told him back in the bioweapons lab. The more he and everyone around him struggled, the more mana they would generate. Deadman still needed more mana to set off his ritual. Whether he got it now or later didn't seem to bother the man, as much as the lack of entertainment value the latter option brought with it. Gabriel felt like he was underestimating Deadman with that last thought. He may come off as a madman, but there was a cold, calculated logic behind his grinning mask. With a deep, contented sigh, he turned to Gabriel, with what his mask could pass for a warm smile.
"After all, since you've chosen to die, I might as well send you off with a bang. And the blood, it will be flowing thick over the next few weeks. You, my boy, will be no small part in this ritual. I can promise you that."
"Not if I kill you first," Gabriel thought, with all the bravado he could muster. He knew he was in no condition to fight a rabid Yorkie, let alone Deadman, but it was the thought, literally, that counted. Deadman's grin came back in full force. "That's the spirit. You and me, Gabriel, we're going to party like it's 1999, except the world will be ending for real this time, one way or another." Gabriel let out a soft, pained, rasping chuckle. At the rate he was going, he wasn't sure if he was going to survive long enough to make it to this party. Deadman vanished and returned to where he had been behind Squall and the orange-suited anomalies. It left Gabriel to wonder if Deadman could actually stop time, or if he merely manipulated his perception of time so they could have a conversation. What felt like minutes to him could have actually been a fraction of a second or less. Deadman's powers did seem focused on trickery and manipulation, after all. What better way to achieve those things than tampering directly with someone's mind? Color returned to the world, with all the desperate sound of battle. Guards toppled under huge slabs of metal. Vindicators fired on Deadman and his cadre. Walls of thick black tar shot up from the floor around Deadman and his people, intercepting the explosive shells. The black tar, ink, mana in its liquid form, rippled under the assault, breaking away in places, only for more ink to take its place. Gabriel didn't have long to ponder how he was actually going to stop someone who could do that. Thick, jagged pieces of metal came tumbling across the hall, headed right for him and the medics. He really was going to die before he could fight Deadman. Darkness crept up on the edge of his vision. Probably didn't need the help dying anyway, Gabriel thought with vague amusement, as another wall of ink shot out in the debris's path. The black goo deflected the slabs of metal away from Gabriel and his medics. When the barrier dropped, Deadman and his people were gone without a trace. Gabriel was out cold once more. The next moments of his life were brief flashes of fluttering consciousness. Nicole and Sergei checked in on him. Medics exchanged medical jargon Gabriel couldn't begin to understand. The scent of antiseptic assaulted his nostrils. Had they made it to the hospital already? Medical pods lined the halls as the medics rushed him through. These were different from the ones he had seen back at the hospital, though. Rather than the bulky, tube-shaped containers, these resembled a hybrid of a coffin and a fighter jet's cockpit. To his eye, these pods seemed to have a far more efficient and streamlined design than the bulky ones he had seen in the past. "Getting things into orbit is expensive, and you can't waste an inch of space," Gabriel thought. He watched as the medical pods tilted, allowing medics to easily load patients into the padded interior of the pods. Missing limbs, deep cuts, and chunks of flesh were torn out of the wounded recruits. No wound was more unsettling than the few infected recruits who missed their date with a Vindicator round during the evacuation. Some of those recruits turned to mush in their medics' arms as they tried getting them into the medical pods. Gabriel doubted the medical pods could do anything for the recruits in the later stages of Devoron larva poisoning. At that point, they were more goop than anything beneath the surface. but it didn't stop the medical staff from trying. Gabriel blacked out again briefly, only to awaken as two medics hoisted him up into the air. He wanted to scream from the pain shooting through every broken bone in his body. He scarcely managed a faint exhale. The medics lowered Gabriel into the soft padding of the medical pod, placed a rebreather over his mouth and nose, and sealed him in as they had many other recruits. Through the pod's window, he saw one of the medics tapping at something on the console outside his pod, while the other moved on to help the next patient.
"This one's going to take a while to fix,"
the medic tapping away at the console said.
"He'll be stuck in there for 3 weeks if he's lucky."
Gabriel was surprised to hear her clear as day. The pod must have had an intercom, though he doubted the medics activated it intentionally. After the Devoron Rex smashed Gabriel and the back-to-back blasts of C-10 he forced his broken body to endure, he was in no shape to hold a conversation. The other medic turned to face Gabriel. "You heard the order. We don't have 3 weeks to wait on fixing any of these recruits. Overload the pod. Get him up and running ASAP."
"But if we do that, we won't be able to recycle any of the metagel, Grayson," the other protested. "The pod itself could be damaged if we push it too hard for too long."
Grayson put her hands on her hips.
"We'll be lucky if we're still alive in 3 weeks to worry about that, Abby. Now overload the pod."
Abby sighed and keyed in the command.
"We better not be on the hook for this."
Viscous amber fluid poured in from vents on the sides. It was warm, relaxing, and before he found himself fully submerged in it, Gabriel drifted away once more.
"So this is the stubborn brat that's been giving you so much trouble."
An old, tired yet familiar voice pierced the darkness. Gabriel's eyes peeled open to narrow slits. Amber tinged his vision. The video to the outside world revealed Trent Hartford, looking over the holographic display of his slim, gold-plated wrist comp.
"Ah, yes, I remember him now," Trent said with amused disgust. "The ruffian you claimed was your friend."
"Yes, Grandfather, Gabriel Rivera."
The old man pulled away. Alexander was with him. Alexander's arms folded across his chest. He wore a fresh set of fatigues and a look of steely determination on his clean-shaven face. This was not the broken man Gabriel had dragged out of the forest. Alexander was like new, back to his old self. "How long was I out?" was the first thought to come across his mind before a slow, creeping dread welled up inside him. If Alexander was back to his old self, things weren't about to end well for him. Alexander had mentioned a medical pod could be used to kill someone, but he also said it was no way for anyone to go. Whatever problems Alexander may have with that particular method of dispatching his enemies didn't matter. Trent was the one at the controls. Alexander looked down and to the side. Hesitation and fear flashed across his face before steel and determination returned to the surface once more. He met his grandfather's gaze with pure certainty in his eyes. "I want you to transfer command of the Reclaimer mission to him." "I must still be dreaming," Gabriel thought for a second. Then he remembered the fight they had before everything went to hell in the Proving Grounds. It really seemed like Gabriel had finally managed to beat some sense into Alexander. But that was then. Beaten, broken, and entirely dependent on Gabriel to survive, such a situation would change anyone's tune in a hurry. Now, Gabriel was the defenseless one.
"Surely you can't be serious. He's nothing more than a low-born commoner," Trent spat. "The fact he has reached a C-8 rank is impressive, I will admit as much. But he has not had the specialized training you've had. The years of education, or understanding of how we came to be in this mess."
Trent raised his cane and tapped the side of Alexander's head with the globe held up by the twin platinum and globe dragons holding it up.
"Think, Alex. Think. That common peasant kept his band of misfits together and alive
through the Phase 2 examination. Alexander kept his voice low, even, but there was no mistaking the growl creeping into his words. Not only did he succeed where I failed, but he successfully recruited other companies to fall under his banner.
"Everyone gets lucky now and then," Trent assured him. "There is no reason to throw away your future."
Alexander narrowed his gaze. "He has saved me 3 times now. Once in the maze, again at the salvage site massacre, and finally after I tried to kill him in the proving grounds. The only reason I am alive to have this conversation with you is because he allowed me to live, Grandfather." He took a breath and shook his head. "No. Because the idiot somehow believes I could be redeemed after everything I have done." Trent frowned, looking at Gabriel inside the pod.
"Then he would surely make a good right-hand man. After Titus and Zachary died, he will need to find quality replacements for them."
Alexander's knuckles went white with rage, even as his face remained stern, calm, and collected. "Zachary and Titus cannot be replaced. They are not, were not, assets to throw away in some grand game."
"Your time among your lessers has made you soft, hasn't it, boy?"
Trent shook his head.
"But I should have expected no better. You could not even put down those 2 worms masquerading as parents with your own hands."
The old man sighed and placed a hand on his grandson's shoulder.
"Alex, you know the world to come will not be an easy one. It will require a strong hand to keep humanity from dooming itself once more, especially now. You've seen the monsters lurking out there. This Herald, Squall, even this Rivera. Do you really think you can allow one of them to run amok?"
Alexander remained silent. His gaze never left Trent's, nor did it soften.
"You were chosen to lead this mission. Don't forget what is at stake here."
Alexander didn't respond for a long, drawn-out moment. Gabriel knew he was weighing his next words carefully. Alexander finally released a frustrated exhale.
"It is simple, Grandfather. Only the strongest are fit to rule, just like you always taught me."
"That is something we can easily correct now, Alex."
Trent paused and turned back to Gabriel's pod.
"It would take but a few keystrokes."
Gabriel's heart rate quickened as Trent reached for the pod. Gabriel tried to move his broken, battered body to stop Trent, for what little good it would do him through the pod. Pain shot through the back of his head. His body went slack, and oblivion took him. Chapter 2. A sharp gasp filled Gabriel's lungs with air. He shot up in bed. His heart raced. He was alive. Every inch of his body crawled with the obnoxious itch that accompanied any prolonged stay within a medical pod. Only the itch didn't linger on a few wounds, but rather spread throughout the entirety of his body, inside and out. At least he was back in one piece. Of course, Gabriel had no idea where the medical staff dumped him after his dip in the pods. The room was dark, with little in the way of lighting save for the faint displays scattered here and there, and the gentle light shining from above. There was a sharp twinge on the back of his neck. He wasn't alone. No, someone was right in front of him.
"Finally awake, Mr. Rivera?"
spoke a slow, methodical voice, full of smooth gravel, like each word had to be carefully selected by the man before being uttered. It was a familiar voice.
"You gave us quite the scare back there."
Gabriel followed the voice to its source. A lighter sparked to life and briefly illuminated a sunken-faced man with a bulky, first-generation implant where his right eye should have been. Deep shadows flickered around the lighter's flame, and over the deep scars around the implant, telling a gruesome tale of combat. The man flipped the lighter off, leaving only the pungent odor and the glow of his cigar to reveal his location. Gabriel knew this man.
Well, if it isn't my friendly neighborhood spook.
He couldn't help the sarcasm slipping into his voice.
Hunter Webb, right? If that is your real name.
It was the name Jensen and Townsend had given the man who recruited them to the Reclaimer Project. Their description matched the spook sitting before him now, the one who saved Gabriel from the pack invasion hitting Orlando. That felt like a lifetime ago.
One of the perks in my line of work, I'm afraid,
Webb confirmed.
But that is my preferred moniker. My apologies for not introducing myself sooner. That was rude of me. But as you understand, we were, and still are, pressed for time.
A faint glint of white cut through the shadows as Webb flashed his all-too-perfect smile. On Webb's gaunt face, Gabriel found it unsettling, like the smile didn't belong there. Yet seeing the disembodied teeth floating in the shadows only made them more disturbing to him. "So what is it this time?" Gabriel began, without a shred of patience. Their last encounter wasn't a particularly fond memory for him, with the man constantly poking and prodding at his every failing, and threatening Gabriel's family so he would agree to join the Reclaimer Project. "Are you planning to drag me off to some other super-secret project? Or did your benefactors have something to say to me?" The unsettling smile faded.
"You are exactly where you need to be, Mr. Rivera. In fact, you have exceeded my every expectation."
Gabriel was about to snap back a reply when he ran through Webb's words again.
Where you need me to be? And your expectations?
He couldn't help but snort. "Correct me if I'm wrong, but our last conversation went something along the lines of your secret organization here scraping the bottom of the barrel to have to drag me into this mess. In fact, you didn't want me here, but your benefactors did."
"That was merely the careful application of the appropriate motivation at the right time."
A faint blue glow emanated from the man's arm as he held up his wrist comp. His was a simple, elegant device resembling a silver wristwatch.
"According to your psychological profile, the best way to motivate you is by directly challenging you and your sense of self-worth."
Gabriel's gaze narrowed, but Webb continued.
"Technically speaking, however, I did not lie to you to achieve my ends. You were an F1 ranked recruit. You were the very bottom of the barrel. But you had certain attributes that made your recruitment..."
He paused, meeting Gabriel's gaze.
"A necessity. Certain attributes you didn't need to worry about at the time."
Webb deactivated his wrist comp.
"When I called you a diamond in the rough, I meant it, Mr. Rivera. What I did not expect was for you to so thoroughly exceed my expectations."
There was a flood of questions rushing to Gabriel's mind, but he grabbed at the first and most important one to him. "And what about my family? Or were your threats just more carefully applied motivation?"
"Regrettable as threatening them was, you gave me no other options. You have a mean, stubborn streak, Mr. Rivera. Had I not put pressure on that particular point, you would have never agreed to join the Reclaimer Project."
He gave a slight shrug in the darkness.
"There were other avenues I could have pursued, but I chose to apply the motivation which would create the most beneficial outcome, willing and thoroughly motivated cooperation."
All this time Gabriel was worried about getting played by Dead Man, but here was Webb admitting he had played him from the very start. No matter how noble his endgame was, Gabriel didn't like getting caught up in Hunter's spider web.
"Is that so?
Then here's some motivation of my own. If you want us to keep playing nice together,
I'm going to need you to start being honest with me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?